glad occasion, and I'm so glad to be able to be here to share with everybody part of the church here. I suppose I'm sort of trying to speak to Alex more specifically because this is his occasion, so I'm a sort of addressing Alex, but I hope it's a bit of a reminder for all of us about what it means to be baptized, to turn to God, what that means for our lives, as some of us have done that for longer, some shorter. But it's always a very happy and glad moment when we celebrate someone actually wanting to give their lives to Jesus, wanting, as it were, as they go down in the water, to die to an old life and then come out of the water again to a new life in Christ. That's the symbols of what we were doing this morning. And it's not just us who are having a good time and rejoicing. The whole heavenly host, we're told, is rejoicing at one sinner who repents and comes to know Jesus. So if the whole heavenly host is doing it, it must be important. And it is. It is important. It's the biggest moment in our lives. It's the moment when we recognize that whatever our life has been up till now, we've now had an experience that tells us that there is a being around us who loves us more than any other being in existence and who has actually been responsible for who we are. He has been responsible for our very existence and the things that have been planted in us when we were born. And not only that, he's now wanting to take an active part in directing our life, directing everything that happens with us and our reactions to everything, so that we will fulfill what has been placed in us from the very beginning as we were born. And so that is a big, big thing. Who wouldn't not want to have that type of opportunity? At one level, it costs nothing. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to give him a retainer for doing this. It's free, absolutely free. But at another level, it costs us everything. It costs us everything. And that's what we've been singing about, really, over this period of time. I don't want to scare you, Alex, but you've no idea what is going to happen to you during your life and what God is going to lead you into, what in practice is going to happen to this life of yours from now on. We are giving over control. We're not just taking on a bit of religion, which means that, you know, we have a bit of religion in our lives and we go to church and we do the things like that. We are surrendering all of our lives and placing it in God's hands to do with us what he knows is best for us. As I say, we don't know what is going to happen, what changes will happen, what challenges we'll face. What I can say is that God takes very seriously the responsibility for your life. So although you are taking it seriously, he is taking it very seriously as well. Sometimes people say, after the high that we have as we celebrate together a baptism, there's a sense of real joy and happening, that a few weeks later the devil comes in and wants to discourage you and wants to turn you away from it, and therefore you have a whole lot of bad things happen afterwards. I think that's actually giving the devil more credit than he deserves. What is actually happening often is that he started to get to work on us. And that often leads to rather bad things happening, because there are things that we have always accepted and done and just gone on with our lives which is not now acceptable. And that can, therefore, things can happen which prove that to us or show that to us rather dramatically. I certainly experienced that about 6 weeks or seven weeks after I'd experienced the love of Jesus in my life for the first time. And three things happened in a week. I won't detail each of them, but I could, just to say to you, one was to do with the way I was treating girlfriends. I did have them in those days. The second was how I was treating a member of my staff who was working for me. And the third was over the quality of my work itself. And each one just hit me like a rock like that. And I was hanging on to God with my fingertips at that stage because I thought, I've just come into this new life. And I'm now a Christian and I'm living this new life with God. And everything has gone wrong. But it wasn't going wrong. It was going wrong because I was needing to find the new way for my life and attend to and address the things that had not been good in what I had been living up until that point. So it's costly. And it's a major reorganization of your of the life which is in us. But it is absolutely worth doing. Because Jesus is totally trustworthy. I was listening actually to a story this morning on the radio where a woman had lost her daughter, was killed in the bombing in the London Underground in 2005. And they didn't know the news immediately because they had to sort it all out. And she was hoping and hoping her daughter hadn't been killed and found that she had died. And her hope just disappeared out of her life. She was just so shattered by grief at that stage. And that lasted quite a long time. She was actually a priest in the Church of England. And she stepped back from being a priest for a period of time and couldn't even put a headstone on her daughter's grave. But being interviewed a few years later, she had come to an understanding that grief still remained for her, but that life had much more fulfilling purpose and meaning, which was able to give her hope and a future and a love again. And it's good just to hear that again. Why can we trust Jesus? Because he came down from the glory and majesty of heaven. He became a human being like us. He took on all the limitations that being a human being is about. He had all the temptations that we could be open to here. He came to all the badness and evil of this world and was surrounded by it, so much so that he was rejected, he was abused, he was beaten, and he went to the worst possible death on our behalf so that we might be forgiven and that we might experience that new life for ourselves. He knows each one of us intimately. Each of us here is unique, formed by God. So that the pattern for one person's life is not the pattern for somebody else's life. You have a pattern which God has wanted to do for your life, for my life. And he is taking that responsibility to change us and move us. So I can tell you, after 50 years of living that life, I'm not sure I've still got to the age of having one of those chairs, but I think I may nearly be. Through all the ups and downs that I've been through, I am so, so grateful for it. And the exciting thing for me is that I'm now closer to that day, which is coming, when I will be able to see Jesus and join him with all the other believers in that place where there is no more tears, no more sadness, where there is only joy and love fulfilling and still purpose and meaning to an umpteenth degree. So, I still love this life, but there's no fear of death, because it can't separate us from Jesus and his love. So I wanted just to end by reading a little ending of all the Narnia stories that C.S. Lewis wrote. And the last is the last battle, and they've discovered that the parents have been killed in a rail accident and things, and the children were also dying. And he says at the end here, "And for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." And so that's what is stored up for each one of us as we join Jesus in that final kingdom.